Read the scripture. Moses is one of the most significant and greatest characters in our Bible and in the history of the Jewish and Christian people. For while Abraham is considered the father of Judaism, Moses is the one who liberated the Israelites from Egypt and brought them into what they called the Holy Land, a land of milk and honey. So this is part of the story of Moses after he left Egypt. Moses left Egypt because he had killed an Egyptian and was going to be in big trouble, so he ran. And he ran into the desert. And there in the desert, he met somebody who became his father-in-law, Jethro, married Jethro's daughter, had family and so on, and took to tending Jethro's flocks. That's what he did. From then on, he left Egypt. He'd been the adopted son of the Pharaoh's daughter, and he got away from all of that, he thought. So one day he's out in the desert tending to his father-in-law's flocks, Jethro's flocks, and he goes past the desert and he comes to a mountain called Mount Horeb. And he sees off to the side, in his view, there is a bush that appears to be burning and not burning up. And he thinks, as most of us would, wonder what that is. I think I need to check that out. So he turns aside, he goes over to where this bush is burning but not burning up, and he hears as he gets closer, Moses, Moses. And he said, yes, Lord, here I am. And out of the bush, God's voice says, Moses, don't come any further. And take off your sandals. You're standing on holy ground. So Moses takes off his sandals and covers his eyes because he doesn't want to see God, because most people believed if you saw God, you would die. So Moses is standing there and God speaks to him out of the bush and says, Moses, I'm going to send you back to Egypt. I've seen the oppression of my people and I want you to go back and help them get out of Egypt. And Moses says, I don't really want to. He said, I'm nobody. I can't do this. And God says, oh, yes, you can. I'm going to be with you. Go and tell the Pharaoh and the people that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is with you, and tell them to follow you. And he says, I don't really want to. He says, what if they ask me who sent me? What if they ask me who sent me? And God says, tell them I am sent you. I am who I am. And Moses thought about that for a minute and said, I don't think this is going to work. What if they don't believe me? So God says, okay, Moses, what do you got in your hand? He said, a walking stick. God said, throw it on the ground. And Moses threw the walking stick on the ground, and it turned into a snake. And Moses went, and ran. And God said, Moses, go over and pick up the snake by the tail. So Moses went over and picked up the snake, and it turned back into the walking stick. Moses stood there for a minute, and God said, okay, stick your hand into your robe. And so Moses did that. He said, pull it out, pulls it out, and it's completely diseased. It's white with disease. He said, put it back in your robe. And he puts it in, and his hand comes out completely clean. Okay. Moses, if they don't believe those first two things, what I want you to do is I want you to go to the Nile and I want you to get some water and I want you to pour it on the ground and it's going to turn into blood. Okay. Then Moses said, yeah, I still don't think I can do it. I don't want to do it. God said, you're going to do it, Moses. Moses said, I'm just not a good speaker. I don't speak well. You know, I can't speak to people well. I'm slow of speech. But here, by this point, God is getting frustrated with Moses and says, Moses, you're going to do it. Your brother Aaron is a good speaker. He's coming to meet you. You can tell him what to say, and he can speak to the people. But you got to get going. Moses finally didn't have any more excuses. And he went. This is a story from our Holy Scripture. Life is something else changes, and you don't have it figured out again. The other day, I was coming into town, and I stopped behind a car that had a vanity plate on it, and I like trying to figure out what vanity plates say. This one didn't take any work. It said, don't know. That pretty much sums up life. The older I get, the more I realize, I don't know. I don't know much, and I certainly don't know what the future holds. It's not realistic to assume that what we want or plan for will work out the way we expect it to. Just look at the world right now. 3 months ago, we would never have predicted the world that we're living in right now. There's nothing in this world that is certain except death and life and change. And not taxes, because I know people who don't pay taxes. So, what we are giving up today is a guaranteed or certain outcome. We're going to give it up. By this, I mean giving up the need to be certain of the results in order for us to be content or happy. Do not get so attached to one particular outcome that we can't live with whatever happens. This practice of giving up guaranteed outcomes is actually called, in some traditions, non-attachment. And by non-attachment, I don't mean not caring. I mean actually the opposite. It is caring enough about our own lives to totally invest in our lives and what we're doing right now without worrying about making things happen in the future. How could Moses ever have predicted when he ran away from Egypt after killing a man that God would actually turn him around and send him back to Egypt to rescue the Israelites? That little moment of turning aside out of curiosity would put him directly in God's path and a direction he never would have imagined and never wanted. And boy, did he fight it. It's not what he wanted. It was not the outcome he had planned for. But God always has other plans. God was not going to take no for an answer from Moses, as much as he fought it. Because life is not predictable. We're foolish to think that it is. You've heard the saying, we plan, God laughs. And I want you to hear this. If life went the way we wanted to, it would not be life. If life went the way we wanted it to, it would not be life. And this is why. Predictability is the enemy of fully living. Life would be dull, boring, and lifeless if we always knew what the future held. We would not take risks. We would have no adventures. We would try to play it safe because we knew what was coming. Life is life. It's exciting and fun and often challenging simply because it's unpredictable. We learn and grow because we encounter unexpected outcomes and have to learn to flow with what is, not what we want it to be. People who try hard to make life safe and do everything to guarantee certain outcomes will lead very safe, predictable lives. They will rarely try new things, take risks, or leave their comfort zones. They're afraid of what might happen and try to mitigate against any uncertainty. And this is a dull and lifeless world for people. It won't work. Even the most cautious person in the world cannot control what goes on in the world or in the future or what happens to them. Trying to guarantee or control outcomes can make life stressful, frustrating, and disappointing. Because when we're focused on certain outcomes and they don't happen the way we want them to, people can become angry, bitter, and spiteful. Life can become one disappointment after another if we believe that things have to be and should be a certain way, because it doesn't work that way. There are people who are perpetually disappointed and bitter about their lives because their lives didn't turn out the way they thought they would or they wanted them to. I know I lived with somebody who is always bitter about their life. They're often people who blame everyone else for their lives or problems or think that they are victims of bad luck. They don't see their part in how their lives have gone. Now, this isn't to say that we don't have expectations. We all have expectations. Expectations are important. They're good. They're healthy. We live in this sense of expectation, of hope and anticipation. It's fun to live with a sense of expectation. Then watch to see what adventure rolls out in our lives. We wouldn't look forward to anything if we didn't live with expectation. What we want to move away from, though, is the attachment to the outcome, how we think it should be. Then we're free to live into whatever happens, recognizing that life never has to give us what we want. And of course, at times we're going to be disappointed and frustrated. That's a part of life. When things don't go as we expect them to or we want them to, it's natural to just be annoyed or disappointed. All we have to do, though, is acknowledge that no outcome is guaranteed. And then we become adept at navigating life on its own terms. And it also doesn't mean that we don't make plans. We have to plan. To not plan is to be irresponsible. And we are responsible for our lives. We plan so that we're prepared and so we can participate in life. We just don't need to know what it's going to be. And it doesn't mean giving up on goals. As Lucille was saying earlier, we can make goals. We can pursue goals with effort and intention, but without being attached to a specific outcome. One of the most dangerous aspects of our religion, of any religion, is that we have expectations of God. That we expect God to bring about certain outcomes. And we not only expect God to do something in certain situations, we expect God to do what we want. In other words, we demand from God a certain outcome. And when it doesn't happen, we often become angry or unhappy with God. Some people even give up on their faith when God doesn't do what they want them to do, what they want God to do. People pray desperately for things to happen, for a loved one to be healed or saved from death, for a change in their life circumstances, for people to get a certain job or to go to a certain school or to win the lottery or to be freed from addictions or for the world to stop fighting or for a certain outcome to an upcoming event. We want God to do certain things for us. And when God doesn't work that way, because God does not work that way, we get frustrated and angry. Here's what happens when we pray. When we pray, we turn everything over to God. Period. We free ourselves from the outcome and turn it over to God. Then we do our part to do what is within our control. When we pray, we are leaving the future, the outcome, up to God. It's called faith. God doesn't fix life. God is always with us when we go through life. If we got everything we wanted, if everything ended up as we desired, if there was no grief or loss or pain, listen to this for a moment. If there was no grief or loss or pain, there would be no learning, no growth, no compassion, no delight, no expectation, no hope, no surprise, no wonder, no fun, no excitement. If we got everything we wanted. A big part of the joy of living is not knowing what's coming. Detaching from outcomes doesn't mean we give up on what we want. It means that we focus on what really matters. Our actions, our efforts, our experiences, without being fixated on what happens in the end. The reality is this kind of approach to life leads to a more peaceful and happier life. We aren't always waiting for something that we want to happen. Jamie Holmes has a book called Nonsense, The Power of Not Knowing. And this is what he says. Not knowing doesn't leave us without a compass in some relativist netherland. Owning our uncertainty makes us kinder, more creative, and more alive. Owning our uncertainty. Reinhold Niebuhr was a German-American theologian, and he wrote one of the most famous prayers in history. He wrote it in 1932. He almost threw it away. He just wrote it as a little prayer, almost got rid of it. Anybody know what the prayer is? It is the Serenity Prayer. And it captures very well this sense of not knowing and not needing to know. It has been a mainstay of the recovery movement since its inception. But there is a full prayer to it. So I'm going to read the prayer to you today. You're welcome to close your eyes or just listen to the prayer, the Serenity Prayer. It says, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardships as the pathway to peace, taking, as Jesus did, this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that God will make all things right if I surrender to God's will, that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with God forever in the next. Amen. Taking life as it is, not as I would have it. Detachment from outcomes is a process of letting go of the need for specific results. Doesn't mean that we stop caring or that we stop working toward our goals. Instead, it's about finding peace in the process of living and accepting that we can't control much. By focusing on what we can influence and release the need for a particular outcome, we actually free ourselves from unnecessary stress and disappointment. When we focus on the outcome, we lose any sense of peace or equilibrium in our lives. We will be on edge until we find out or get what we want. If we let go of outcomes, we can stay relaxed, calm, and curious, and let what will be, be, without needing anything as an outcome. Moses could not possibly have known what was in store for him when he encountered God in the burning bush. His life definitely became more complicated and certainly more precarious. He would go through decades of challenges and joy, anxiety and celebration. And that's the nature of life, has its ups and downs when we take it on its own terms. And paradoxically, not focusing on outcomes actually makes us happier. We're more focused on living in the moment, living now. We find an equanimity that allows us to take life as it is. And when we truly focus on our thoughts and actions now, we can make decisions and take actions that are more likely to build the future we want rather than hoping it's going to happen. So let's give up guaranteed outcomes and embrace unknowing. Don't know. If we let life be what it is, we will move through it with greater joy and acceptance and serenity. May it be so. Let's take a moment for reflection.